Thank you, guys. Awesome stuff there. Really, really appreciate it. Should we just give our appreciation to the band? Yeah, so as Nick was saying earlier, my name's Matt, and I'm going to be just speaking to us a little bit as we kind of start to bring this service to an end. And I really want to kind of link in what I'm talking about this morning with what we've already been doing, what we've been encountering. This whole morning seems to have had a theme of coming to Jesus, including the baptisms, which were awesome. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Will, for standing and sharing what God has been doing in your lives. And ultimately, what has happened here, Nick mentioned it earlier, didn't he? That we've gone and seen a transition, something that's happened, spiritually speaking, metaphorically speaking, but it has happened. It's real. Where they have said that they wanted to put to death their old way of life. And they've got into that water which was symboling the grave, and they have put to death their old self. And they have been raised up out of that water with newness of life. We're saying, I'm going to die to self, but I'm going to be alive in Jesus. And they've come to him, just like we've been singing then. They've decided to come to Jesus. And they've already did that, but they've publicly declared that today, that we're going to come, and we really want everyone to know that when Jesus gets involved in our lives, things change. Isn't that true, that whenever Jesus gets involved in our lives, well, actually, everything changes. And I wanted to share with you a little story, which you can find in Luke, where that is exactly what happens. And it's another story of death and life. It's another story where people are literally at death's door, and yet when Jesus speaks, he brings life into the situation. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 23 and reading from verses 39 onwards. It's going to come up on the screens, and we'll just read that together. Just slide that over there so I can pace around. Cool. So this is the verse, this is the passage. It says, I'll read it over here. One of the criminals, so this is Jesus, he's on the cross. He's nearly at the end of his life here on earth. He's about to die. He's already been crucified. And if you know the story well at all, you know that two other people were crucified alongside him, two criminals. We don't know exactly what they've done, but that's all they're labeled as, just criminals. That's what they're defined as throughout all of history. They're not given names. They're just defined by the mistakes that they made. Two criminals are crucified, one to Jesus' left and one to his right. And we just pick up the story as they're hanging there on the crosses. And it says this, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. I love those words and just want to focus on what Jesus said, but also what that second criminal said. Three things that he said that really stood out to me and I wanted to highlight to us this morning. But Jesus, to say those words, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. That's a powerful statement. It's one of the most powerful statements that we can read. Because here we have in this story, Jesus is at his weakest. He's at his most vulnerable. He's humiliated. He's moments from death himself. But yet, who else but Jesus has the authority to speak these kinds of words? He has the absolute power to say this and it to mean exactly what it says. Because when Jesus speaks, anything can happen. When Jesus speaks, everything changes. You know, you can read through all of the Bible. You can I could talk about all of my life, which testifies to this fact. And we've heard from two people already who testify to this fact that when Jesus gets involved, everything changes. When Jesus is involved in your life, you can't ever be the same. It changes you completely. It changes your personality. It changes your character. It changes the way you think, the way you act, the way you spend your time, the way you spend your money, the way you do relationships, the way you bring up your kids. when you have a perspective of who Jesus really is, it changes everything. And not just that, but actually being in relationship with Jesus, he can change a bad situation just like this, and he can make it good. He can take death, and he can bring life. He can take sorrow, he can take sadness, and he can bring joy. He can take our mourning and give us dancing. He can take somebody who is broken and make them whole again. He can take blind people and restore their sight. He can take an orphan and he can adopt them into the family of God so that they're a son or a daughter. And here we see that he can take a criminal who everybody else has seen as an outcast and deserving of punishment, and Jesus speaks life. And instead of being a criminal, he's now a co-heir with Christ. How amazing is that? That Jesus can do all of this when he just speaks. Because when Jesus speaks, he gives us all hope. And when we look at this story, when we see what's going on here, and we just kind of take a moment to consider the two criminals who are hanging there next to Jesus. The first criminal, I say we know nothing about them, we know nothing about him, he's nameless, he's literally defined by his biggest mistake. And as he hangs there, actually, he's being punished for having done something wrong. He's broken some kind of law in the land, and the consequence of those actions means that he will be crucified, that he'll be punished, and that he will be put to death. And yet, in the face of death, as he's hanging there about to die himself, in the face of death, is he sorrowful? Is he mournful? Does he regret his mistakes? No, not at all. All he does is mock the person next to him. Even in his own stupidity, in his own mistakes, in his own folly, he still doesn't recognize what's going on. His moments from death, and all he can do is mock the person next to him. How many of us get so blindsided by our own situations, our own circumstances? We get so blindsided by what's going on around us that we completely ignore or forget or don't even realize there's other people who are around us. Maybe our actions are hurting them. Maybe what we're doing is actually having a negative effect on them. But we can be so blindsided by our own lives that we don't recognize that actually there's someone right beside him who can help him, who can change everything for him. He speaks to him with arrogance, and he says to him, he mocks Jesus, in fact, and says to him, "Save yourself. Go on, save yourself. And while you're at it, save us." But do you know what the beautiful thing about this story is? That Jesus could have climbed down off that cross at any moment. Jesus was the Son of God. He had all the power and all the authority of the King of heaven, who created the universe, who made the very world, who gives us breath. He could have done anything in those moments, but he chose not to. And I think that speaks of his ultimate power, actually. Not that he kind of like shook off the cross and did like a superhero kind of like floating thing and kind of like went, and came down off the cross. That would have been pretty awesome. But actually, he showed more power in the fact that he stayed exactly where he was. And the beautiful thing about that is that actually, by staying on the cross, saving them was exactly what he was doing. Because Jesus knew that if he got down on the cross, he could have saved himself from that torture, from that punishment, and from that death, from that moment there and then. But Jesus wasn't on the cross just so that he could die. Jesus was on the cross so that we could live. Jesus was on the cross. The whole reason that Jesus came, the whole reason that God sent his Son in human form, is because the world that he created, this perfect world, had become broken. This world that he had made into something that was beautiful, and he longed to be in relationship with his creation, but creation had turned its back on him. Humans throughout history, including myself and yourself, we've all turned our backs on God at some point in our lives. We've decided to do things our own way. We've lived selfishly. We've lived disobedient to God, or we've willfully broken the law. Who knows? But at some point, we've all broken that relationship with God. And because of that brokenness, we see the world that we live in is full of brokenness. And if we're honest, and if we look at ourselves too, We may seem good on the outside. We may be enjoying certain aspects of our lives, but the reality is we were made for so much more. We're all broken people. And so God sent his son Jesus to come and to die on the cross because he wanted to restore that relationship. And that with Jesus hanging there on the cross, what he was actually doing was he was saying, I'm going to take all of the brokenness in this world. I'm going to take all of the mess. I'm going to take all of the hurt, all of the pain. I'm going to take all of your sin, which is what the Bible calls this brokenness. I'm going to take it all on myself. I'm going to cling hold on that. That's mine. I own that now. And I'm going to die the death that we deserve. Just like the criminal had done something wrong and the consequence of his actions was that he deserved death. Do you know what? For all of us, when we disobey God, the consequence of our actions is that we will all die. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to make another way. I'm going to take that punishment for you. I'm going to die on the cross for you. I'm going to take all that brokenness and I'm going to bury it in the grave where it is going to stay. When they buried Jesus, they buried all of that brokenness with him. But the good news is that Jesus didn't stay dead. The good news is that 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the dead, proving once and for all that he was who he said he was. That he really was the Son of God. That he did have power over sin. That he did have power over death. That he had power to take all that brokenness on himself and leave it there in the grave. And to make a way for every one of us to come into relationship with God for ourselves. That if we accept Jesus as our King, as our Lord, if we put our trust in him, just like this criminal was, guess what? We too can be saved. We too can have that promise spoken over us that what we will be with him in paradise, not just in the future, not just for all eternity after we leave this life, but we will be in relationship with God today and every day. And that is amazing that that is happening right here. He stayed on the cross for those reasons. But I wanted to just highlight the second criminal as well, because the second criminal, perhaps for the first time in his life, had his eyes opened to the reality of the situation he was in. And do you know what? It only takes one moment. We can be so caught up in our lives, caught up in our circumstances, caught up in our careers, or caught up in our relationships, or caught up in our despair. But it only takes one moment of having our eyes open to who Jesus really is to have all that changed. And that's what happened to the second criminal in this story. Second criminal had his eyes open to three things. Firstly, the reality of who God was. We don't know anything about him. We don't know whether he was religious or just somebody who'd made a mistake or whether he'd lived his whole life rejecting God. It doesn't really matter. The point is that right here in front of Jesus, when he was face to face with him, was the first time that he just recognized and spoke out truth. That God was real. It says to the other criminal, don't you fear God? Now, obviously, up to this point, they didn't really fear God. If they'd feared God, they probably wouldn't have done the things that they did. But the criminal recognizes that God is real. They're about to die. They're about to come face to face with their Creator, who's going to look at them and their lives. And he realizes, oh, God is real, and I have messed up. First thing he realizes, God is real, and he acknowledges that with the words that he speaks. Second thing that he realizes is that he is a sinner, that he is being justly punished, he says. We're being justly punished for what we have done. Maybe they thought what they were doing was fine. Maybe they thought they could get away with it. Maybe they thought they deserved to steal whatever they were stealing or to do whatever crime they committed. But in the face of Jesus, he realizes, No, actually, I'm getting what I deserve. I've not lived the perfect life. I may not want to die, but I'm getting what I deserve. It's true for all of us, actually, that we get what we deserve. He recognizes God was real. He recognizes that he's a sinner who's being justly punished. But the third thing, the best thing, the most important thing, is he recognizes in that moment that Jesus was King. And I love that line. I love the words that he says. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Why would he say that? Is it wishful thinking? Is he hoping that, you know, there's a get out clause in this situation that he's in? No, actually, where other people have failed to see it, this guy is recognizing Jesus for who he is. He's saying to remember me when you come into your kingdom. Why is he saying that if he didn't realize that Jesus was a king? that where Jesus was going was to a place where he ruled with all authority, where he was the authority. He recognized the authority of Jesus, and he spoke into that situation. He says, you know what? You are a king. I recognize you, Jesus. You're not a criminal like us. You're not somebody who's just being punished because you deserve it. You did nothing wrong, but you are a king. And as king of your kingdom, Jesus, would you remember me? In other words, maybe what he's saying is, Jesus, when you come and rule, have mercy on me. Don't despise me. Don't discount me. Don't cast me aside. But remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I love this passage because Jesus doesn't say very much, but what he says changes everything. We see one criminal who's arrogant, who's so caught up in his own mess, and all he can do is mock God, mock Jesus. We see another criminal who recognizes God is real, that he has messed up, and that Jesus is king. Do you know what? That's all it takes. For any one of us, at any moment, at any time of day or night, it only takes that realization. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how you think about God today, but I want to challenge you and I want to ask you and I want to encourage you to think about God in these terms. If God is real, if Jesus is king, if we are ultimately broken people living in a broken world, what is your response to that situation? When Jesus speaks, what changes is he brings hope. And hope is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Hope's a wonderful thing. Hope gives life. It gives meaning to the situation. It gives them purpose. It gives them a reason to fight. Gives them something to endure, to persevere, even in the midst of suffering, even if you're going through difficult times. Hope can bring comfort. Hope can bring perspective. Hope can give you something to cling on to, right? Hope is a wonderful thing. And it's not just like wishful thinking. Hope's not just like, oh, hope the weather's nice today. Like, you know, we can hope that we can wish that something might happen, but we have no impact on whether that thing will happen or not. No, that's not the real definition of hope here. Hope is something that you can trust. Something you can believe in, something that you can stand firm on. Our faith in Jesus is not in vain. Our hope in him is not just wishful thinking. When Jesus died on the cross, he made a way for us to come into relationship with God. Jesus' death and resurrection proved that he was who he said he was, that he is going to do what he said he was going to do, that actually the criminal can have hope when Jesus says to him, you will, not you might, you will be with me in paradise. And one of Jesus' followers, Peter, weeks later would stand in front of a crowd and would be able to say with confidence, you know what? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That promise is to everyone. Everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, your circumstances, what you've done, how old you are. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We can have hope in Jesus because of what he's done. Without Jesus, I do think for many of us, we are just broken people. We may aspire to not be broken. We may chase after things that will satisfy and give our lives meaning, give it purpose. But those things ultimately will never last. Those things will never help. Those things will never make us escape the reality that we're still broken people in a broken world. And the only thing that can fix that brokenness is choosing to die to self and be made alive in Christ. To say no to living selfishly and yes to following Jesus. Without Jesus, we're all broken. But with Jesus, we are restored. Actually, without Jesus, we're desperate and in need, but with Jesus, we have a destiny. We find our true purpose, our true meaning. Without Jesus, like the criminal, we can be outcasts in society. But with Jesus, we too are invited to be part of the family of God. Without Jesus, there is no hope. But with Jesus, we become the message of hope to the rest of the broken world. I want to finish by saying this. If you're putting your hope in anything other than Jesus, you're going to be chasing a pipe dream. If you're putting your hope in your career, in a promotion, if you're putting your hope in your relationship, in your status, in your popularity, in your financial security, if you're putting your hope in your health or your fitness, well, these things are material and they will not last. And ultimately, they will not satisfy. But a hope in Jesus will never disappoint. Because he is who he says he is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the creator of the universe. He's the one who gives us life in the first place, sustains our life. And if we put our hope in him, he gives us life, not just now, but life to the full. Life in all its fullness, in this life and for all eternity. That's somebody worth putting our hope in. Somebody worth putting our trust in. And if today, like the criminal, you see Jesus, maybe for the first time, for who he really is, I want to invite you to put your trust in him today. And I want to just pray to close, and I want to invite you to consider this. Do you see yourself as perfect and sorted and no need for anyone or anything? And if you do, fair enough. But if you recognize that actually we're all broken people, if you recognize that we're incomplete, if you recognize that actually God is real, that Jesus is King, and you are willing to say, I want to put my trust, my hope, I want to put my life in his hands, I want to give you an opportunity to do that as we finish. And I want to pray, if that's you, I want to just simply pray that you would know the love and acceptance and the value that comes in being part of the kingdom of God, that comes from being in relationship with God. Now, you don't have to be at death's door like the criminal. You don't have to be at your lowest point. You don't have to be in despair to turn to Jesus. The reality is, none of us know if we have tomorrow. We don't. It's not promised to anybody. Why wait? Because today is a day when you could start the rest of your life in a way that you were designed and purposed for. Are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing to? I say that, it's not really a risk, I don't think. It's not really that big a risk at all. If Jesus is who he says he is, are you willing to say, I want to put my hope in him. I want to give my life to him. I want to die to myself so that Jesus can live in me. So I'd love us to just, let's all bow our heads. Let's just take a moment to pray. And I'm going to ask, if that is you, if you want to put your trust in Jesus today, I'm going to ask in a moment for you to just simply raise your hand. And I'm going to pray a prayer over you. And I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be glad. I might even dance, because you are going to start the journey, just like Will, just like Rebecca, a journey where you're going to know what life is like with God at the center. Jesus right there, walking every step of the way with you, giving you hope. Doesn't mean everything will go well, but it does mean that you'll always have God by your side to help you through every circumstance. God, I pray right now, you would be speaking to every one of our hearts. God, for those who know you well, who have become a Christian before, who have committed their lives to you before, God, I pray you would just remind us again. We'll be encouraged again that our hope in you is not in vain, because you are good and you are God. But God, I pray right now for anyone who's here who's not made that decision before, or maybe you've made it before and you've let that relationship with God slip away. I want to pray, God, right now, you give people the courage to raise their hand and say, I want to put my hope in Jesus. And if that is you, I'd love you to raise your hands right now. Go for it. Just lift your hand up in the air. Not for me, but do it for God, to show that you want to be in relationship with God. That's awesome. Just take a moment. Let God speak to you. There may be more. I'm sure there's more. If you want to say yes to Jesus, awesome. There's another. Thank you so much. Keep your hands up. Just begin to pray. God, would you come into my life? Father God, I thank you for those who've been courageous enough to put their hands up this morning. God, we pray that as they say yes to Jesus, they can take hold of that promise. You will say yes to them. You welcome them into the family. You forgive them of their sins. You wash them clean today. God, I pray by your Holy Spirit, you would begin to pour out on their lives. They would see a change. They would feel a change. They would know a change. They would know you for who you really are. Their eyes would be opened right now to the truth of who you are. God, you would begin that journey of life and in all its fullness with these people who've raised their hands this morning. Thank you for them, God. Thank you for them. We welcome them into your family. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice, Jesus, for dying on the cross for every single one of us. We worship you this morning, God. Amen.